Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another version of Bill Roten on Sports here at beautiful MetLife Stadium. And where the hell is this? In
East Rutherford.
East Hell Rutherford. I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, that's rough.
We're here in MetLife Stadium, and I'm Bill Roten on Sports here with my friend and co-host, great Jamal Murphy.
Great to be here. Saw a pretty good game today. The Giants go to 2-0. 16-13 victory over the Saints. Yeah, so successful opening for the Giants and Giant fans.
Yeah, and of course we're joined. One of the things we pride ourselves on, Bill Roten on Sports, is that we introduce you to people you already know, but people that you should know. And our guest today is somebody you should know and you will know, Justin Walters. Justin Walters, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, I twisted your arm. You probably know.
It was a good twist.
But Justin is a sports anchor and reporter for Fios One News and also a WRNN TV. And tell us a little bit. You're from New York. What did you say?
Money earning Mount Vernon.
I never heard that before. You're from money earning Mount Vernon. Why money earning Mount Vernon?
Because the Heavy D was a popular song, and a lot of people give Mount Vernon flack just because it's adjacent to the Bronx. Or any time when you're from New York and you don't mention a borough, people are like, "Oh, is that upstate?" Incorrect.
right.
So you got to add a little pop to it. So that's our little style. But yeah, Mount Vernon, feel good to be home. I was living down south for a few years
and working Whereabouts?
Jackson, Tennessee. So that's
midpoint. Oh, real south.
Wow. Yeah, real south. So not the Jackson that Bruno Mars talks about, the other Jackson, Jackson, Tennessee. So it's adjacent to Nashville and Memphis. 2.5 years out there, took a leap of faith. And now I'm back in New York, and it's a blessing to say the least. Been here for about 6 months, covering local, regional, and national sports, and Jets and Giants. It's exciting. Football's back.
Nice.
It's back.
Yeah, I don't know what that says, that we're all like really excited about this brutal sport of football. Remember, I mean, the first couple series of plays, we had an injury, right? We had a scary concussion. Is that what they ruled it for?
And because he got hit in the back of the head, which is a real sensitive part of the head, so they ruled it as a concussion, and he didn't return.
I guess not. I mean, he was out for about 15, 20 minutes.
It felt like it, yeah. And then, you know, as this is what happens with football in the NFL, you know, the crowd gets silent for about 10, 15 minutes. People are kneeling and praying. And then next play, we're right back at it.
Right back at it. Prisoner of the moment. It's like, oh, okay. All right, let's go. Touchdown.
It's almost like it didn't happen.
Right.
Essentially.
Know? Yeah, but we talked about this. We always talk about this every single week. But yet, you know, do you like the game? Do you like football?
I love the game. There's nothing like it.
No, you're right about that.
Of course, the only reason out of the four major sports, every week matters in this. You feel like you must watch this week of sports. NBA, you can miss a game. Of course, major leagues, you can do the same. And hockey, unless it's more of a regional sport, unless you love it or grew up watching it, you can do that as well. But overall, football is just one of those things. You get it on Thursday, you get it on Sunday and Monday. You must watch your team play.
You're right.
But did you grow up playing football? I mean, I'm talking about the morality of it, you kind of have to justify this. This is clearly a 100% injury game, mostly brothers.
Yes.
You know, getting thrown to the Lions. I mean, I love the game too.
And you played.
I played. I didn't play like that though. Thank God. But did you play? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to school in Iona Prep. So that is in New Rochelle.
Oh, so you didn't even go to money earning Mount
Vernon? No, I didn't. My parents weren't going to allow me to go there. They wanted me to go to get a better education. But overall, Iona Prep was nice, but I did not play football in high school. I stopped right before high school. Basketball has always been my sport. That's my first love before broadcasting.
Oh, really? Did you play at Iona?
Yes, I did. We ended up losing in a state championship my senior year. Crushing loss. Crushing. Still remember
you,
it.
To some things you never forget, right?
Yeah,
those
never.
Crushing loss. Was it like a 1-point loss? To what? Or it was a blowout?
Yeah, it wasn't a blowout. It was just unfortunate. This kid that played D1, we held him to, I don't even want to say his name because bad memories are coming to my mind now.
For the sake of our audience.
No publicity. Nah, don't give me any publicity.
No, was it Kobe Bryant? I mean, who was it?
No, a kid by the name of Chaz Williams. He played at a school.
Yeah, UMass.
Real small kid, mm-hmm. about like 5'5", right. if that. We held him to 4 points in the first half, and then he exploded and ended with 23 in the second half, and they won. We'd also beat them in the regular season, but it was crushing, man. And we played at Iona College's court. Mm. Woo, one of those tough losses that you never forget. Mm. And that's how I ended my senior year. And then instead of playing sports, talk about them now.
That's there great. Where'd you go?
LaSalle University, Philadelphia.
LaSalle. Okay. All right. Okay, good. So listen, let's get right into it. I mean, you've seen, since you're covering local sports, you cover Jets, Giants. You were here with us here at MetLife. The Giants look pretty good. What do you think about when you look at the Giants, look at the Jets? Which fan base has the greatest source of hope?
The greatest source of hope, I would want to say, is going to be the Giants. Wow. Just based off of how much they spent in the offseason. Mm-hmm. They have the better record only by one, but we're already saying it was a must win for the Jets on that Thursday night game against the Bills and Rex Ryan. But I think that the Giants, with the weapons that they possess, mm-hmm. probably have a little bit more hope. Both teams, I think, still have a strong possibility of making the playoffs, but the Giants, mm-hmm. even though they haven't made the postseason, what has it been, the past 4 years they've been out?
It's been that long?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they've been out for a while. The Jets were one game away, but I would want to say that the Giants are the better team so far this season, what I've seen.
It's funny you mentioned money. Well, during the postgame, Jamal and I went down to the respective locker rooms, and so we had some interesting conversations about the difference between this year and last year. Jamal, you
We heard from JPP. And basically, that was the theme in the locker room, that this is a new season, totally different players. So, in turn, it's a new vibe. And the Giants feel completely different about this year. And JPP had something to say about that.
Jason, how much different is the vibe in this room?
The vibe is totally different. You know, it's new guys, new players. We know what it takes. You know, it's not an individual, you know, or goal. You know what I mean? Everybody got one goal, and that's just the – you know, play one game at a time and continue doing good. And the mistakes that we made, we're going to get them corrected. And, you know, come next week, we got Washington.
Did your shoulder come through okay?
Yeah, you know, it was hurting, but, hey, it is what it is, man. I done meant the worst, you know. So I'm not even tripping.
You weren't close to not playing, were you?
Huh?
Were you close to not playing?
What do you think? I was out there, right? I done meant the worst, man, so I'm all right.
Yeah, then I, you know, Eli Manning came to the podium, and I asked, you know, after he talked about, you know, last year they would have lost these types of games, these kind of close games. And so I asked him, well, what's the difference between last year when you lost these kind of games and this year when you won those kind of games? This is what he said.
It's probably that $200 million we spent, I think, right? I think that might have something to do with it right there. But I think, yeah, but it's, yeah, I mean, I think the confidence, you know, having last year or last week, guys step up, defense getting a huge stop right there at the end of the game, that's big. That's big for the offense. That's big for the defense, just playing fast. And, you know, now they're thinking, you know, they're not worried about, hey, don't lose a game.
He mentioned everybody laughed when he mentioned $200 million is the difference. Where, you know, Justin, where did they spend the money? What was he talking to? That was $200 million.
Well, one of them made a really big play in the home opener, and that was one of the only touchdown for the Giants. Janoris Jenkins on that blocked field goal, and that was for the cornerback. You have Olivia Vernon, then you have Snacks on the defensive line who came over from the Jets.
Snacks, I love that.
Yeah,
that's a great name.
It doesn't get any better than
For a lineman?
For a lineman, Snacks. And he eats all day.
Right. It doesn't take a lot of imagination why they call him Snacks.
Right.
Right. We were talking about you being from Mount Vernon. What teams did you when you grew up? What teams were you addicted to?
I have a weird sports affinity. The only New York team that I like is the Yankees.
Really, that is weird.
Out of all the NFL teams that I enjoy, this is really a kick, and people get crazy and freaked out about it. It's the Eagles.
I grew up an Eagles fan, too. All right. I don't know why, and I'm from Brooklyn.
All right, fair enough. Well, my connection towards it is my dad is from Syracuse, Donovan McNabb, first pick, boom. So it's long story, but not really. So that's the connection there. I'm actually a Heat fan when it comes to basketball.
Oh, man.
The reason why is that during the Knicks and Heat rivalry, everyone knows they had those blood brawls.
Yeah, right.
I voted for the Heat, or was rooting for the Heat, when my dad rooted for the Knicks. Tim Hardaway, Eddie Jones, Alonzo Mourning. Mm-hmm. Tim Hardaway still top five crossovers of all time.
You were rooting against the Ewing,
Starks,
Knicks?
Man, I know, right? Hey, man, you should have told
me. In New York.
Ewing shit in a finger roll. No, he should have dumped it. I'm sorry, but I had to bring it up.
Oh, man, that hurts.
Yeah, that's true. Even now, they talk about, you know, the finger roll, really?
Yeah, Fat Joe brought it up recently.
Yeah, finger. Yep, he did, all the way
it's
up.
It's not right, man.
he's lucky. Patrick's lucky. That's not his nickname. Yeah. Patrick Finger Roll Ewing.
Well, Charles Smith, you know, he's the one who caught the brunt of
that's
everything.
That's another one.
Yeah.
But at least you can forgive. I mean, it was Michael Jordan.
Right.
I mean, you know, Michael Jordan broke a lot of hearts. I mean, that era. There are a lot of people, Barkley, Ewing, who did not win because of Jordan.
Right.
So, you know.
So one thing that was funny is that you asked me about my sports affinity, and one thing I just don't have, and I wasn't going to fake the funk when I moved down south, was a college football team. Mm. And moving and living down south, you already know, that's essentially a religion. Right. It's like God, and then for Tennessee, it's Butch Jones, who's the head coach of the Volunteers. So that was just very interesting to find out, I guess, the sports dynamic based off of regionally where you live on what your sports affinity is and what some people do. People's Sundays for us, that's their Saturday. They can go without the NFL.
Wow.
They must watch college football on Saturday. And Sunday, they can relax.
Did you become a college football fan while you were down
there? Oh, absolutely. I loved it. I wasn't going to just bring on or adopt a team, but going to Neyland Stadium, which is the UT Vols Stadium, amazing. They played Missouri, and it was an ESPN game. Huge. SEC
right.
country.
Right, yeah, and SEC is basically NFL.
Yep.
Yeah, no, it is. Well, Alabama certainly is. Maybe
no
LSU.
Sleep. LSU, well, Ole Miss, oh, yeah. Mississippi State.
Yeah, about 3-4. Actually, where is the kid from Dallas? Where did he go? The quarterback for Dallas,
Dak Prescott,
Texas
Mississippi
A&M.
State.
Oh, Mississippi State.
Mississippi
yeah.
State.
And hey, the newest kid on the Giants, LSU, Sterling Shepard.
Right.
And of course, Odell Beckham as well.
LSU, right.
Yeah, we were having that conversation before. I forget with whom. Actually, I was having this conversation with Dee Mackay. He was the executive editor of the New York Times, my old paper. but he was wondering, you know, why Alabama turns out all these great college teams, but particularly running backs, but they never do well. Those running backs never do well in the NFL. I mean, they don't do nearly as well in the NFL. And he was wondering, why do you think that? Where LSU, on the other hand, turns out just tons of pros. I mean, their kids are just great kid. The only bust I could really, really bust was
Jamarcus.
Jamarcus.
Oh yeah,
that's a huge bust.
He
may
that's
take
the bust
over.
The bust.
But
sorry, Jamarcus.
Ain't no sorry. You should have lost some weight.
He didn't care. He ain't listening to this podcast. Maybe we'll have one of the guests if we can find out where he is. But why? I mean, just kidding, why do you think that is? I mean, why? You know, why? I mean, we just look at the last kid who the Heisman Trophy winner. My theory,
Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry. My theory was that Nick Saban particularly chews those kids up. I mean,
the mileage. I know right. That's something that's been.
They got a lot of mileage in those tires.
I don't know what it is, honestly. That's the only credibility or evidence that we have to pinpoint why these kids haven't been able to produce the way that they're able to on the college gridiron. But also, I think we should just look at there's a lot of bust. The NFL isn't for everyone.
Right.
There's a lot of kids. You can go Tim Tebow. You can go down the list of people. The NFL is just not for everyone. Some people have great college careers, and the NFL career could be mediocre, but we have so much hype for them. But their game isn't made for it. The kid, Michael Sam, he's the co-defensive player of the year in the best conference in the country, SEC. And he can't even get drafted in the first six rounds.
Now, do you think any of that was because he was gay? He came out as gay? Do you think he just
You can
play.
It's all politics. Mm. It was definitely played in its part. But overall, whether it be Michael Sam, Tim Tebow, some of those kids, people want to call Tebow the best college football player ever. But in the NFL,
Some hype in that.
No, there's a lot. The only reason, but the thing that you have to play in a part is that he played 4 years. For example, I would say that Cam Newton was a better college football player than Tim Tebow.
No question.
In my eyes, especially after going to Auburn, then a JUCO and doing his thing out there, but Tebow played all 4 years, which was different.
And won. And, you know,
yes,
you got to give him credit.
Urban Meyer. dynasty.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. We talked about the game today, and you weighed in about the Giants and all that. I was looking because everybody's been talking about the protest. The national anthem is clearly the thing that Colin Kaepernick started is still not over. And I was looking at the national anthem today, and I didn't see a New Orleans player nor a Giants player protesting. In fact, I must admit it, I stood up. Because, you know, I mean, it's a funny thing. I mean, normally when I'm in the press room in front of everybody and I feel pissed off that particular Saturday, what I would do is come back here in the lounge area or go somewhere, just disappear, and then go back. If today, you know, I'm thinking like, the people in the crowd. The
eyes on you.
The cafeteria's crowd. I get my big gold Hall of Fame jacket, you know. people reminded me, you know.
Right.
And I'm like thinking, all right, now is this the time to kind of like just sit down? And not that anybody's going to do anything.
Right.
You know.
But to you, for sure.
Yeah, well, maybe.
If it was me, you know, they don't know who I am.
What are they going to do? They're going to kick you out.
They highlight my name like no credential.
No more.
Next week.
Sorry, sir.
Never know.
You can no longer come to this food cafeteria.
Right.
But it's funny that you say that because, you know, you feel like eyes are on you. But that's really what it is now for these players, because every time the national anthem is being played now, the TV cameras are scanning both sidelines. So, if you're trying to take that stand, everybody's gonna know right away.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, it's just funny. Just this little thing here, and I'm in the parking lot. You know, as me, you, and our executive field producer Raisa Kelly, as we are driving into the game, and I'm like looking at predominantly white fans. I mean, almost overwhelmingly white fans, and I'm like, you know, thinking, man, I don't know, you know, and it's a stereotype that. You know, I don't know how many black friends any of these people have. And you feel the pressure. If you're a player sometimes, the pressure of, like, doing that. In fact, Justin, you were telling us about a piece of news from Miami, right?
Yeah, for the latest update, as you mentioned, no real players to stand up to raise their fists, kneel down, or actually take a seat during the national anthem. But in Miami for the Dolphins, who had four players, including Arian Foster, last week, now the police union and sheriff's office is mentioning that they will no longer provide escorts until the team forces players to stand for the anthem. So that's the latest, and there you go.
I'm trying to figure out what's the correlation. Like, what are you talking about? It's not like there was a police department speech and you didn't show up, or you turned your back on the police. We're talking about not something that really doesn't have anything to do.
The military. I mean, nothing. I mean, as we're listening to today, I'm like listening to the national anthem, and it is about war. I mean, the bombs bursting in air, and then you get to the land of the free, home of the brave, and really, are we really the land? You know, but they've turned this into this military thing that if you don't stand, you know, kind of like it's like America, love it or leave it. I mean, it's this whole. But I think that's part of the anthem. The problem with the anthem anyway is that you've got a lot of people listening to it, and we all kinds of different thoughts are going into everybody's mind.
And they're not.
It means something to everyone.
And
it means something different.
I'm sure you, like down in Jackson, Tennessee, I'm sure you got an earful.
Right. And it's like, you're right, it means something to a lot of different people, but for some reason, it's not, so whatever some people may think of it, is not respected. Because we're not gonna escort you, we're not gonna protect you because you may have a particular view on an issue that that may or may not have anything to do with the Miami PD.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and now I'm very interested. See, you know, you're gonna start backing football players into a corner, you know, and it's gonna be very interesting to see what the organization does. Because I think, Jamal, you made an interesting point, because I guess when Kaepernick does it, number one, it started, kind of caught people by surprise, you know, and without
West. It was a publicity stunt, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just to get traded because he didn't win the starting job.
Yeah. Well, that kind of came through my mind a little bit, too, that he just wanted out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, are you kidding me? Do you know where our starting quarterback is? We're not trading you. You know,
did he play today? I know they got blown out by Carolina. I wonder if he got any playing time.
No, I don't believe that he actually did play, but they did take the L.
Right. Yeah,
well, if they got blown out, take one more of those.
Right.
One more of those, and you're going to see Colin Kaepernick, and then it's going to be interesting. But getting back to Miami, though, so now is the organization, what's the organization going to do? Are they going to, like, force them to play? Are you going to tell these guys, boy, you gotta stand up. You got to, you know, it's going to be very interesting what they do.
It is going to be interesting. I know the organization originally came out and fully supported that the players have the right to exercise what they believe is right or wrong. And protest isn't meant for your convenience or comfort.
Right,
we already
right.
do know that. And then these absurd comments where people are quoting Martin Luther King, Dabo Swinney from Clemson.
How?
If you're going to quote them right and then
right.
understand the context, it's like saying a random biblical verse and then this is what God meant. Wrong.
Right. 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 And people do that. People
yeah, do that all the time.
Dabo Swinney does that too.
Bedside right. Baptist.
Yeah. Right. I asked Swinney, you know, some people, I guess, but it's so, you know.
And it's also posturing on, right. on the Miami PD's point
right.
part because they most likely are going to do their job and escort. It's almost like Beyonce. Remember when
right.
she did Formation?
Oh my gosh!
And you know the New York police said the same right. thing. We're not gonna do security for your concert when you come here. But that when her concert came here, they paid for security and she got security.
There's one person you'll mess with is the Beehive.
right, right, right. Exactly.
That's right. That you'll be out there and you'll like it.
No question.
Yeah. So that's I think that's ongoing. I mean, that's going to be a very ongoing story. But I thought it was interesting that none of the Giants players. Although I asked Carl Banks about this, and again he said, you know, this what people do, but what people feel is completely different. I mean, I'm sure that there are a lot of players who have some very strong feelings about it. But I mean, realistically, particularly if you're black in this country, that we survive. And there's some people that there's a time to protest, there's a time to raise the fist,
mm-hmm.
there's a time to escape, there's a time to revolt. Then there's a time to just kind of say, hey, man, this ain't the time to do either one.
Right.
You know, we got to lay back because we survive. I mean, we are survivors. And survival entails a lot of different strategies. And you know, and then sometimes remember, I mean, from the very beginning, there's certain people, remember the spiritual, before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave. Well, there's some people who took that shit literally. They either jumped off the boat in the middle of passage, or they walked into went to the dismal swamp and drowned themselves. And then there are others who said, you know, we're gonna burn down the master's house, we're gonna poison the family. It takes, you know, there are others who chose to be the Uncle Toms, you know. And Uncle Tom literally would say, well, my job is just to, you know, I'll do what I can from the inside to help. But I mean, so, and I think as I've gotten older, you kind of have to respect our different ways of surviving. I just don't tolerate people outright sell us out, you know, and you know who those people are, you know, the people you'll probably see on the Trump campaign.
Right.
Say, mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Yeah, that's just too much.
That's a problem. You know, put those brothers on the bulletin board or in the post office posters.
That's unpatriotic.
Right? That's right. You know, I was thinking before we, you know, I saw Kathleen Battle in California last week, the great soprano. And I hope she's a proud. You stick to football, but she ended the performance with "Lift Every Voice," you know. And as I was thinking this, I was thinking, well, maybe that's what they should play, since we have this issue about the national. I was okay. I said, this is what we're going to do. We did it at Morgan, my alma mater. You know, we play "Lift Every Voice" first, then we play the national anthem. You know, so maybe before the football games, we should play "Lift Every Voice," then play the national anthem, and then when certain people start getting all antsy about "Lift Every Voice," well, now you'll know how we feel when
right.
we play the national anthem.
Right.
And there's positivity that comes out of what Kaepernick did with his stance. How many of us would have actually looked up the original lyrics of the national anthem and
right.
found out that Francis Scott Key was an actual slave owner, that when he talked about the land of the free, home of the brave, that's not meant for us.
Right.
The lyrics were remixed. They did a Bad Boy P Diddy to it and be like, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sugarcoat this and
right.
make y'all feel like y'all are earned. No. It was
right.
actually completely against us. So
right.
there's positivity. It makes you do your history and do your homework. So I have no problem with what he did. And some people that are uncomfortable with it, it's fine. If you're offended that your feelings are hurt, I'm offended. Because
right.
it's okay.
Right.
It's okay for people to disagree. It's cool. Stay in your lane.
Right, exactly. But then you go to this intolerance. And I guess that's part of the whole problem with we're supposed to be this land that's free. You know, as long as you don't touch the third rail. Which is racism. Well, you know, or talk about it in a way that's uncomfortable for me. Even sometimes, you know, a lot of our liberal friends we could talk about it, but don't indict me. I'm not really, because I'm down with you guys, so I'm on the good side. I said, listen, racism is a disease, and everybody is infected by this disease. It's not like sexism. I say, okay, I'm a recovering sexist. You know, I mean, if you're really honest, you can't say, well, I have sisters and brothers. If you're a guy, a lot of times you think about, and you evolve. You evolve, but first you've got to admit, I'm evolving. And I think the problem with racism is people don't want it, they don't even want to admit that I'm a racist, but I'm an evolving racist. You know, we talked about that before. People say, oh, let's talk about race. I don't want to talk about race. I want to talk about racism. Mm-hmm. Race isn't a problem. Race isn't a problem. And anyway,
that's true. I mean, the word itself has become some horrible word that you can't call anybody.
Right.
And it's really the racists who hate it. The word the most. It's crazy. I don't understand.
And you're right. It's a harsh word, but it's shit. Ask each of our answers. The reality is harsher than the word about what that actually means. And you know, the word is just the word. But what about that? The action. I remember I was at this in a museum. They have this. I forget what the name of the museum. A museum of slavery or history. But there was a dark. There was a room that you go into, and it had this story. A narrative of this slave woman, enslaved woman, who she had pissed off her owner, her mistress, and as punishment, she was selling her two kids, and this whole part was about her mother preparing her. This is going to be their last day together. She was combing her hair and all that to send her away. This was a little daughter,
and.
I mean, I'm listening to this, and this was a number of years ago, but I almost felt like crying because you think about this was just that particular instance. But if you think about what it was like there, not just, you know, we talk about, well, in 18 something this happened, but then in 1910, but think about what it was like to spend 24 hours as an enslaved family where anything could happen at any particular moment. It could be your wife. It could be your children. You could look at somebody the wrong way. They could kill. And you had no recourse. I mean, you had there's nothing you can do. And I'm thinking to go from there to where we are today, still talking about the same stuff, the same struggle. And if you don't understand that, if you don't, you know, white people, well, why do you have a chip on your shoulder? It's a wonder why more of us aren't like kneeling or raising our fist or going nuts and stuff. So
I have a question. Since we mentioned earlier about the San Francisco and Carolina Panthers game, and Cam Newton on the other side recently said in a GQ article that he believes racism is, in quote, over. I know my personal beliefs. I was a little bit upset because I expected more from Cam. What were your thoughts, Bill and Jamal?
Yeah, I mean, I was disappointed.
Being delusional?
Yeah, I was disappointed. But it goes back to what we were talking about before. I mean, all these protests and taking stands, it is a personal decision of when and where you want to do it. Cam knows as well as anybody that there's racism in the media, you know, among fans. I mean, he dealt with it last year. He had his father talking about the issues last year. So to me, it was just... he didn't want to really deal with it at this point. He felt the pressure all last year, and he just wanted to say something to appease people. And that's one of the effects that racism has on people. You know, it's a chilling effect too. You know, you see people getting all this heat on them. You see the cameras scanning everybody to see their every move, and it creates a chilling effect, which is what it's supposed to do.
I remember who lost the. Who lost the endorsements?
Brandon Marshall. His college teammate, Colin Kaepernick's college teammate.
Right. What did you think? I mean, you're in a different generation, certainly of me. I'm not sure what your relationship and age is to Jamal. But what do you think? Not just about the protests, but about racism in general. Is death, as Cam would say, that is dead. That we live in a sort of a racially neutral.
I would completely disagree. And I mentioned it to you before we started this about how one of my favorite books is $40 Million Slave. Mm-hmm. And I believe this is so apropos to this situation because we want athletes to speak until they say something that we don't want to hear.
Right.
And you have to understand who runs this game, and it's the suits. You're always going to be great, touchdown, MVP, et cetera, Super Bowl rings. But you can be an expendable as quickly as you rob someone the wrong way. The fact that when Colin Kaepernick came out, an executive anonymously told Bleacher Report that he's been the most hated person since Ray Carruth. Ray Carruth, the same person that put the hit out on his pregnant wife. His pregnant wife, seriously, and he's still denying it. I watched a follow-up recently on Brian Gumbel, and he's still denying it. And then the guy that killed her was saying, yeah, when you're the mafia, blah, blah, blah. But Ray Carruth, Colin Kaepernick, come on. Right. This is the same Colin Kaepernick who was a play away from winning a Super Bowl. Of course, shoulda, coulda, woulda, didn't happen. But come on, less is more. It's no need to be over drastic with that. But you always have to understand that some people look at you in a different context, and that even though you may be friends, like I have a lot of white friends, but the new term with my generation is called staying woke. So no matter who you have as friends, you always have to be, I guess, mindful of you are in the same room with this individual, but what you have done has not gotten you in the same room. You have may had to work harder, but just because you're sitting next to him doesn't mean you're viewed in the same lens. And that's the whole term about staying woke. Just because you may be lollygagging around, understand that if you get pulled over and he gets pulled over, it's going to be two different scenarios. I've had white friends tell me, oh yeah, I bickered and moaned with this cop and gave him backlash. Us?
I'm flabbergasted. They talk about talking back, and remember I was re-listening to a show we did with remember when Brian Delendick was on the show?
Yes.
And we had this conversation with Gayle King, and we had the conversation about the police and whatever, and he was talking about something, a little dialogue back and forth. I think you may have said it. I said, I mean, what? I mean, we don't even, are you kidding
a
me?
A rebuttal?
What? A rebuttal. Yeah,
you should watch Dave Chappelle, Killing Him Softly. Oh, I mean, I actually watched part of that the other, like a couple days ago, and he was so on point with that stuff. I mean, it's just, it's two different worlds. Oh. And that's the thing, like, to me, you know, I mean, and just going back to what you were saying about comparing someone who protests to a murderer, to a convicted murderer of his baby's mother.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, that just shows you what it.
But that's how
is.
They fit. And I guess in their minds, that is murder. It's killing the American dream. It's killing all these the shit that they believe in. It's killing the place that they have for us. This is supposed to be our place. And it's, you're right. I mean, I love that term, by the way. I did not hear it.
Stay woke.
Stay woke.
Stay woke.
Yeah. It's a hashtag.
It's a hashtag. Like stay woke.
Yeah. See, that's why we have, that's why young people on the, just kind of keep me. I mean, what I love about this, two things is A, it's a cool term, but also, you know, because a lot of our kids, my daughter's 26, 25, she'll be 26, but I think that you can get it twisted because we send them to all these schools and we send them to the best this and best that, and some of them get it twisted. Like, these kids are really my friends. I'm not saying they're not your friends, but I always find out in every conference, there comes a point when, depending on what you talk about or something, there always comes a point that it kind of, there's a divide. And you're good for it. They're white friends and they're good. Now, they understand. They understand. They kind of work through it. And they say, you know, but I think there's a disillusionment.
No, and it's a lot of neglection.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like staying woke. That's really a that's a great term. What else? Have we covered?
Well, I mean, getting back to football of all things.
Yeah. We went off on a little tangent,
that wasn't a tangent. That was the real deal. Football is a tangent.
Right.
It's a tangent.
The Rolling on Sports is a tangent.
Yes,
it's a tangent podcast. But
maybe that's what we should go. We call it.
But I mean, the Giants today, big win. 16-13 over the Saints. The Saints had just put up a lot of points in week one. I kind of figured it would
400 be 400 passing yards, I believe, by Drew Brees in week one.
Right. I thought it was going to be a high-scoring situation.
Everyone did.
So you're impressed with the Giants' D?
$200 million? You better be impressed. Yeah, that's a big purse. It looking like last year they looked like $200. This year it was $200 million. But no, I thought I was very impressed. Mm-hmm. If you told me that the Giants were going to win this game without entering the end zone from the offensive standpoint, you got to be impressed with that.
Right.
The defense stood up and they did very well, even though people automatically had, I guess, the asterisks of the New Orleans Saints are a different team outside of the dome. And
of course, that's true.
Do understand it, but Drew Brees is still Drew Brees. And Drew Brees is going to do Drew Brees.
And it's nice weather. There's no excuse for the Saints. No. It's not December.
Except they're indoors. They're outdoors. They are completely different.
It's 75 degrees outside. So, I mean, now I can see in December, the whole Peyton Manning thing, he couldn't produce in the cold weather. I mean, Brees probably suffers from that a little bit, not as bad as Peyton. But on the offensive side for the Giants, The star today was an old name, Victor Cruz.
Oh man, you got to be impressed with what Victor Cruz has been doing. Seriously, first week he was the game winning touchdown,
right?
And he got his little salsa, his padded dance, and then this week he sets up the game winning field goal, incredible catch. He was tightly draped, and then he grabbed it in for a 30-yard plus catch. But no, you have to be impressed. It was a strong receiving core. Him, Odell Beckham, and then Sterling Shepard, which we aforementioned from LSU, the rookie.
Right.
He was thrown to, I believe it was 8 times, all 8 catches.
He looks good.
Where is he from?
LSU.
LSU. Right. Yeah. And, you know, and I was in the New Orleans locker room and talking to a couple of defensive backs, and they were referring to the Giants wide receiver core as a three-headed monster. So they're getting that respect.
I remember when I covered the Giants preseason and their first practice that the media was allowed to cover, Victor Cruz said that this receiving corps has a chance to be elite. And so far, we've seen some very impressive things.
And the guy who's probably been least productive is Odell Beckham so far. He's had a couple drops.
Yeah, man. He definitely could have had a touchdown today.
Right.
Easily. He did have a few drops. So he is human, but but next week, oh man, I can't wait to see him reunited with his best cornerback or his friend, who won't be invited to any barbecues anytime soon, is Josh Norman.
That's next week, huh?
Next week.
Wow. That's right. That's going to be.
Is that in D.C.?
No, it's going to be here.
It's here. Oh,
it's here.
So I guess we'll be here.
Yeah, we got to be here. Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. So you think the Giants are looking better than the Jets? It's interesting because the Jets were supposed to be.
It's not by a wide margin.
Right.
Just, I guess, so far what I've seen, I have more confidence about the Jets. I think that.
About the Giants, you mean?
Sorry, pardon. Mm-hmm. Yes, about the Giants. Based off of their defense, I think the defense has been more impressive, and that's what I'm going to go with.
I hear you.
Okay, one more bit of news, good news for Tlaib, right?
Aqib Tlaib, he is not going to be facing any league discipline, according to the NFL Network. He shot himself in the – or pardon. We're not sure how this wound took place in his leg.
There was a bullet
in his right leg. This took place in June at a Dallas bar. So he's good to go, and I think that he had
He's good to go.
The Plaxico effect.
Our Cheddar Bob from 8 Mile.
No question.
Oh, God. All right, that's good. Our guest has been Justin Walters, sports anchor reporter for Files One News and also for WRNN-TV. Check him out. You can check him out at Justin Walters TV. Great guy from New York, from Mount Vernon. What is that?
Money earning.
I learned too. I mean, maybe I've just been, you know, in the money earning Mount Vernon, and also
stay woke.
I like that. It's very encouraging, man. The young people understand. Don't go for the okie doke. I mean,
right. That's what it is.
That's the best way.
Stay
to
focused.
That's what
stay
it is.
Stay focused, man. You
never forget.
Never forget.
Right,
never forget,
right.
Brother. And I think, well, okay, we're signing off. But the more you know our history, and the more you really study our history, the more you realize that you can never go to sleep on this.
Right.
You can't sleep. The history is that. It you know, when you do stay go to sleep or trust when you're not sleeping, it never turns out well. It's never a happy ending.
Right.
You know, oh yes, we're just all together. No.
Right.
And don't let them be the
You end up on stage with Trump, and that's not good.
Oh man, how
make America great again.
Make America great.
America. Exactly.
Hey man, hey Justin, thank you so much, man. This is great. Great meeting you. Well, we met before, right?
We met at the Knicks the introductory press conference for Jeff Hornacek.
Oh, that's right. That'll be interesting that thing unfolds.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's just worry on football right now.
Right.
Oh, Knicks.
All right. Hey, Jamal, pleasure as usual.
Of course.
And Raisa, I don't know where Raisa Kelly went.
She disappeared,
but she's our executive producer, sound person. Extraordinaire, yeah, and does it all. So listen, everybody, thank you very much. It's been great, been real. Look, well, this is, Bill Roden on Sports, Paul Murphy. Our guest has been Justin Walters, and we will see you next week. God bless.
We'll be right back. Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.